very thankful for what has gone before this weekend and all the services yesterday and today. I was thinking as Brother Joe was talking and speaking there and preaching this about the skint sticks, and you know, he mentioned about what the Lord was showing Jacob there, that what from without is not what changed from within. You know, that is, as Brother Joe was bringing out, that is a great skint stick that this world has taken and just swallowed up. That it's what's out there, what's outside, that changes the inside. But it takes the power of God to change man on the inside, not
from.
Then you see what's on the inside come out. One place, and I thought Brother Joe might end up going there in different places. There is a place in the scriptures where it talks about a stick. I say a rod is what it called, but all the rod is was a shepherd, was a piece of a tree limb or a stick that were used to guide. And the Lord worked a great miracle on a stick.
Amen.
Book of Numbers, where the children of Israel came and were murmuring, complaining about Moses and Aaron being the one leading them. They didn't think that was fair. They didn't like that idea.
That's right.
So the Lord told them, you take a rod from every one of the houses of Israel, write their name on there, and you lay them up. He said, and the one that buds, that will be the one that will show who will be the one that I have called to lead my people.
Amen.
And what happened? The Lord took a skint dead stick and put life into it.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to remember.
Amen.
It's not what's out. What Brother Joe is bringing to us, there's many things the world will teach us that gives us life, but where the life truly comes from is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the one that puts it in. Very thankful for what has gone before. Brother Joe's, he's definitely given me some things I want to go look and study on a little bit more there on Jacob. He brought out some stuff that I guess I've read over so many times and just never had seen it. As Brother Herman always said, there's a lot of nuggets there that we need to look at. I want to look at one thing, and I always seem like here at Macedonia, as Brother David has brought up, you know, there's a unity here, and as Brother Sam preached on, I'm very, very thankful for that, because I do come back to Macedonia and I feel like I'm right back at home, because I am at home. I can go to Sulphur Springs. It's a very special place there for me, and I'm at home there. I can go to Vestavia. I can go to Pine Hill. All these churches. I haven't been there where Brother Neil's at. It's one of the places I do want to go and to visit, but I do, just from being around those that are members there, I feel like there's another home that I have not been to yet. And I'm very thankful for that, because that is something that the world cannot understand. And hearing different brothers, I know Brother David was talking a little bit about getting the day off of to come to the meeting and everything. When you start talking to people about, I'm taking vacation time, were you going to the beach? No. You going to the mountains? No. You going to go to California and see the redwoods? No, I'm going to church. Go to church.
Amen.
But it's something that only you can experience. That's why the Lord told us to come and see.
That's right.
Because only here in Zion can we feel the way we feel. We feel that kinship. That love that has been mentioned about flowing from heart to heart and breast to breast. Over in the book of Genesis, there is an account there of, and ironically, I was thinking about the weather this week about Noah. And started Tuesday and Wednesday there at work, and you know, the hard rains we've had here in North Mississippi, and I guess probably even over in Alabama and different places and all. And I was thinking about, you know, some of us there in work was talking about how much it's rained this year through this winter. And somebody said, you know, it's rained 30 days or something like that. It was, you know, kind of keeping tabs of how many days it's rained in the last, you know, couple of months or anything. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, we say it's rained so many days. And that means, usually in my mind, sometime during that 24-hour period,
right,
it rained maybe for an hour, maybe for 30 minutes. Maybe it rained for 12 hours. But you think about what it did for 40 days and 40 nights. That's not just a hard rain like we've had. The Lord opened up the windows of heaven and broke up the fountains of deep. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights nonstop.
Amen.
Think about that for a moment. Now think about it on the other side of the flood. The first time that Noah seen the rain come down, after the flood. Do you think he was worried? Okay, the Lord didn't tell me to build an ark this time. Is it going to happen again? No. Because God had given him a promise.
Amen.
He gave him a promise that he would never destroy the earth again with a flood.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, he's given us that same promise. Even though we've had a lot of clouds the last week or so, when that sunshine starts peeking through just right, we see that rainbow. We see that bow in the air. That promise is still sure and steadfast today as it was in the day of Noah.
Amen.
That promise will always be sure and steadfast until the last day of time, whatever day that is. But think about that account there for a little bit in the days of Noah. And this is in chapter 6 of Genesis. And I'm going to try to be brief on this because this can turn very, very lengthy, and I don't want to do that because it is with the weather as it is. But we read there in the book of Genesis chapter 6 how the Lord, he saw the evil that was among the earth, on the earth, and how that men's, you know, imaginations, how that all their heart was upon evil, and it despised him that he made man, that he was going to destroy them. And it says there in verse 7, it says Genesis 6 and 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that verse right there, if you don't stop and think about it, said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to run it the way the world does because it doesn't say that. It says Noah found eyes in the grace of the Lord. It said there that grace, Noah sitting there and looking at himself and saying, why me, Lord? Why do you love me? I'm just that old dead stick. I'm just that old dead rod, just like the one of Aaron's that budded, but yet the Lord had put life in him.
Amen.
There was grace there because God chose Noah. He chose Noah, you're the one that I choose. I choose to love. But there's also something else, Noah. I'm going to give you some commandments. I'm going to give you something to do. We've heard so much about this weekend about things that we need to do in the church. We need that unity. There's some things that we need to do. Noah was given something to do. He was told to build an ark. He was given something. Brothers and sisters, when we see that we have found grace in the eyes of God, when we see that God was the one that puts the life in us, that God chose us before the foundation of the world, that's not time for us to sit down on the stool of do nothing and just say, I've got it made. No, that's time we need to start taking up our yoke. That's the time that we need to start laboring. And brothers and sisters, you want to know what labor? Noah, naturally, he labored for 120 years building an ark. You know, I can kind of, I drive here back up to Starkville this afternoon and I see somebody building an ark, I might stop and say, do you need a hand? I kind of got a little idea. But you know, they were people that probably looked at Noah, have you lost your mind? He says, no, I'm doing what the Lord has commanded to do. Brothers and sisters, have you ever thought about maybe somebody when you put in time for vacation, you're going to take 3 days off to go down to Ackerman, Mississippi on the side of Highway 15 to go to church? Have you lost your mind? No, I'm doing exactly what the Lord has called me to do.
Amen.
To worship Him.
Yes.
Noah labored for 120 years doing the things that he was supposed to do. Brother Neil talking about how we need to take up our yoke. Brother, we've got a yoke. We've got something we need to be doing. It's laboring in the kingdom of God. It's worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. It's working and keeping the unity of the Spirit. It's doing the things. It's keeping these words. It's studying. It's praying. It's a yoke. Yes, it's a yoke. But brothers and sisters, you think about what a yoke is. A yoke, you think, I always go think back of the old oxen, how they would plow the fields. They put a yoke on that oxen or to make him go and plow the field. But brothers and sisters, oxen don't always work alone.
Right.
And we're not. We're yoked in one. We're yoked to our elder brother.
Amen.
We're yoked to Jesus Christ. We need to lean on Him.
Amen.
You know how the farmers would train a young oxen? They put him with an old one. Because that old oxen would tell, it would teach that younger one. When to start, when to stop,
When that farmer would pull the reins to the left, he'd teach him to go to the left. When he'd pull it to the right, he'd teach him to go to the right. That's the same with us, brothers and sisters. When we've yoked ourselves together with Jesus Christ, and that means when we take up our cross, we're following Him, reading and studying and praying. And when we do have those bad days, He's made us another promise. He said, we have a throne of grace that we can go to, that He teaches us. I'm so thankful for my yoke fellows in the ministry.
Amen.
But there's a lot of brothers and sisters that's sitting right here in this church today that has taught me something.
Amen.
There's some sisters and brothers that have gone on to be with the Lord that has taught me a lot just sitting down having a cup of coffee and said, brother, have you ever thought about it this way? Have you ever saw what the verse says over here? It doesn't really say what you said it did, brother. It says this. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. We need to be in the house of the Lord. We need to be laboring. And if we live 120 years, I pray that we live and stay right here in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Laboring. God gave Noah a promise. He promised He'd be with him. He told him what was coming. He said, I'm going to destroy the earth with a great flood. He said, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be the one that's going to close that door. I'm the one that's going to close you in. Brothers and sisters, He's the one that's closed us in when He closed His hand around us and said, these are mine.
Yes.
Nobody's going to separate them from me. And what's that? And I know different brothers look at it in different ways, but in my mind, I always think of the Lord saying, these are mine, and my Father's hand is around that.
That's right.
There's no one that's going to separate us from Him. That's a promise that He gave us. That's a promise. Just like that promise, we see that bow in the air. God gave us a promise. He gave Noah a promise. He's going to keep His promises. He told Titus in Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, God that cannot lie promised before the foundation of the world. His shalls are sure and steadfast. Because He's the one that promised. He's the one that made those promises. I can make you a promise. And my intentions, my best intentions will be I'll never break that promise, but I'm still a man. I may not be able to keep that promise. I may not live long enough to keep it, or I may one day say, you know, that promise is going to cost me more than what I really want to do. But you know, our Lord and Savior made a promise before the foundation of the world to His Father and the Holy Spirit, and He knew exactly what it was going to cost.
Amen.
And He kept that promise in hope of eternal life. But you know, He told us about that promise in one of those places that Brother Sam went to this morning. I thought he was going to read it and go into it, but it was over there in 2 Samuel chapter 23, where he says, although, this is David speaking, although my house be not with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. That covenant is a promise. An everlasting, one that will be kept, one that will never fade away, one that will not disappear, one that will not be broken by our Heavenly Father. He made it with David. He made it with Samuel. He made it with Paul. He made it with every one of His children. And He will keep that promise. And brothers and sisters, just like Noah there, I think this week, two or three times, I thought, you know, Noah looked out and seen that next rain. Well, it's raining again. I remember one day there was a great flood. And brothers and sisters, that's the same today. We think about what the world teaches. We'll think about, well, it's just all just a... Oh, it irritates me when I think about it sometimes. It's not just a big bang. Things didn't happen and just get cast out here. It was but one by one who created it. Someone who, it was an order. There's an order to everything that we have. And brothers and sisters, there's an order to the way that we should keep our lives and following Him, laboring, going to Him, continually going to that throne of grace. When I have stumbled, when I all those things of the world that are beating me down, because He's made that promise. He says that, come to me. You should find help in the time of need. I think about those promises. And I think about that one promise that He really made, that covenant, as David said, an everlasting one. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter how hard it gets, and sometimes it gets real hard,
yes,
He's still there with us. because he made us another promise. And not, I know Macedonia has heard me say this 1,000 times, but he's promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Yes.
He's made that promise. I draw strength every day from that because he is right there. He's right there. He's yoked up with us because he's the one that says, come unto me. I will give you rest. And then there's those times when he's been the one who says, come unto me. I'll tell you when to stop. As brothers and sisters, you know a token of that covenant he made with Noah was a bow in the air. There's something else that we have within us that we know he's keeping that promise. That he's the one that gives us life. It's called a conscience. Mm-hmm. Whenever we're starting to do things or haven't done things that we should, we feel it within here. We feel that in here. That's that Spirit of God saying, you know what his word says. You know what his law says. And I'm not talking about just these laws. I'm talking about the ones that I wrote on your heart. Amen. And on your mind. He said, because you're mine. Because I made you a promise of everlasting life.
Right.
You're mine. I'm going to go to one other place and I will draw this to a close. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians. Real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 17 it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. I was thinking, and not trying to summon out or single out any one sermon, because the Lord has richly blessed this weekend. But Brother Neil was talking about some things about how the world weighs down. And it is a great weight.
Amen.
But when we think about that promise that he's made us, what it took to pay for our redemption, what we go through right now is but a light affliction. But we have given hope, an earnest expectation. He said, I'm there with you. I'll never leave you. He said, because of that light affliction. I think it was Brother Miller yesterday talked a little bit about the crown of thorns, of why what a lot of the things that those thorns and that crown represented, being beat down on our Savior's head, how he was beaten, how his visage was marred more than any man's. And he did that because he loves us. He did that because he knows that was what it took for you and I to be with him. Let's not give up hope. Let's not be like Peter there and say, well, I go a-fishing. He had seen the miracles. He had seen Jesus Christ raise the dead. He had seen that blind man have his eyes open. He had seen all those things. But yet when he saw them take him down off of that cross and lay him in a tomb, he says, I go a-fishing. Brothers and sisters, we have a hope. Let's hang on to that. Amen. Let's be sure and steadfast. Even though how much the world will want to beat us down and rob us of that joy. Brothers and sisters, he made us a promise that he is there. He is still our Lord and Savior. Our Lord and Savior reigneth today. He is sitting at the right hand of our majesty on high. And there is coming a day. There's coming a day he's coming back. Because he tells us even just here in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Brothers and sisters, I look for that day. I know I still have some laboring to do today. I know there's still some things. I want to continue to help take care of the church in the sense of an under-shepherd. I want to help take care of my bride. I want to help take care of my brothers and sisters. My family. But brothers, I look for that day. I yearn for that day. When I know there's not going to be any more sin. There's not going to be any more weight of this world. There's not going to be any more rains. And I got to worry, man, am I going to get through the flood today? Brothers and sisters, we have something to look forward to. And I it seems like here lately that I know it. Beulah and Harmony, they hear me talking about the resurrection and talking about that end of time. But brothers and sisters, that's what gives me the strength. For the love of God constraineth us. When I think about what he did for a wretched sinner like me. Brother Harvey spoke yesterday about the meeting down at Providence, and Brother David Montgomery mentioned there about how Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And I've heard the discussion, you know, among ministers, a lot of, well, Paul was saying it just so that we feel like it. Well, inspired word of God said, Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. But I'll use Brother David. There's room on the top. I feel like sometimes I'm sitting right there beside Paul. I feel like I'm the chief of sinners sometimes, but yet he still loves me. But there's still some laboring. There's still some joy. There's some peace and some comfort that we have here in this world. Because he's made us a promise. If we'll take up that yoke, I will give you rest. You know, there in the account where that rich young ruler came to Christ, he was asking, what must I do to have eternal life? He had a desire for eternal life. If he has a desire for it, there was already evidence that he was already a child of God. He had eternal life. He needed some instructing. And that's what the Lord started teaching him. To keep these commandments. Do these things. He said, Lord, I've done all these things from my youth up. He said, but one thing thou lackest. You know, the Lord can always find one thing with me. He can find a dozen more. But at least one thing he can always find with us. One thing we lackest. Sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And follow me. You know, that man went away sad because he put his faith and his trust in riches. You know, even to the point that Peter and the apostles after that account asked, you know, who can be saved? You know, and they start going through that conversation with him. You know, the Lord told him, those who trust in riches, it's easier for an eye of a camel to go through a needle than it is for those that trust in riches to be saved. You know what it is? If I put my faith, and I'm talking about here and now, I'm not talking about eternity, I'm talking about right now. If I put my faith, and not just talking about riches, but anything. If I put my faith in Tony Lester, it'd be easier for me to go through the eye of a needle than it would be to be saved. Because if I put my trust, my faith in what I can do, Brother Joe mentioned about those who think they're a self-made man, and I don't like what I've made when I look in the mirror. Amen. I need the Lord. Amen. I need His help. That man went away sad. Even though the Lord loved him, this was one of his children because he wasn't obedient in doing what the Lord had told him to do.
Right.
Noah was obedient in doing what he was told to do for 120 years, and the Lord closed him in that ark and he delivered him through that water. He delivered him by that water. He was separated from the wickedness of this world because he went into where he was supposed to. Brothers and sisters, we can separate ourselves from the wickedness of this world when we do what we're supposed to. Come to Mount Zion. Fill up those things. I think Brother Tim yesterday talking about the voids that are in our life. When we get rid of the things of the world and fill it up with the Lord. Fill it up with the church. Fill it up with worshiping Him.
Amen.
But I want to tell one more of a man that was given some instructions. Abraham sent his servant to go fetch a wife for Isaac. He gave him the commandments and told him where to go. He said, don't take a bride of those here in Canaan where they were dwelling. He said, you go back to my kindred. You go back to where I dwelt. You go fetch a bride for my son from my people. And that servant asked him, he said, Master, what if she will not come? He said, what if she won't come? He said, then you're free of the oath. You're free. You've done what you were supposed to do. But you go back to my kindred. You fetch that bride for Isaac. And that man left going. Now, I was looking at the map. I tried to speak on this here not too long ago. From there in Canaan where Abraham was and to where he dwelt there in the Ur of Chaldees was, I roughly figured, I like the little scales that says 1 inch equals 150 miles. You know, I pulled out my tape measure and looked there. I said, that's roughly about 500 miles this man went. Not knowing who he was going to bring back.
Right.
Not knowing for really who he was going to even seek out.
Yes.
And when he got there at that well, he did something. He went to that throne of grace. And he prayed, Lord, show me who. And he asked the Lord to be, he was got very specific in his prayer, show me, and started laying out how I will know. And before he gets the words out of his mouth, there she is. And you know the account, he goes on as she's talking to him, and he finally tells her, he said, I, being in the way, the Lord hath led me to the house of my master's brethren. That rich young ruler was given some commandments. He didn't follow them. He went away sorrowful. This servant was given commandments of where to go, what to do, and him following what his master had told him to do. And praying, he was led to the house of his master's brethren.
That's right.
That's the same with us, brothers and sisters. When we're obedient, we are led to the house of the master's brethren.
Yes.
I see nods. I know there's a lot of you grew up in the church here, and I knew there's some that came from other waters. The Lord led you here because you were obedient to him. Noah was given a promise. Noah was told what to do. And he was told that they would never destroy the earth again with water. We've been given a promise that we have eternal life. And Jesus Christ is the one that paid for that. And there is coming a day that this tabernacle will be changed. That's why it's called a tabernacle.
Amen.
This is just a temporary dwelling place.
That's right.
It's just a temporary tent, Brother David. You're right. I look for that day that it's not temporary anymore.
Right.
You know, Moses there, he asked the Lord to see him. He said, I want to see your face. He said, you can't look at me and live. No man can see my face, look at me face to face in this sin-cursed body, and live. He said, but there's a place, there's a cleft of the rock. He said, I'll place you there and I'll put my hand over you. And as I walk by, I'll remove my hand and you'll see my hinder parts. Brothers and sisters, we're being given that cleft right here in the church.
Yes, sir.
He's placed us. And that means, I'm not saying he ordained that we would be here. He didn't, say that you're going to be in the church. But when we're obedient, when we're following after him, when we're in the way doing what we are called to do, we're in that rock. When we come to the church, when we come home and ask for a home in the church, we're obedient. He has placed that hand and he removes it. And we see those hinder parts. As one of the brothers said this morning, we see through a glass darkly. But brothers, we're seeing. We're seeing him. And I look for that day that whenever it's not just seeing him darkly, but we will see him face to face because he's made us that promise. Brother, it's not going to be any death. There's not going to be aches and pains. There's not going to be more goodbyes or sin. But the greatest and glorious thing of heaven is we see him. We're there with him, with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because brothers and sisters, he made us that promise.
Right.
And from a God that cannot lie. You know, those are simple words, but they have a great, great power.
Amen.
Because I can lie. You can lie. I don't want to be lied to, and I don't want to lie to you. Brother, sister, it's not even in his nature.
Amen.
He can't. It's not because he didn't want to. It's because he cannot lie. That's what I look forward to. All this weekend, I've had those verses on my mind. And it seemed like, I know some of you may go, well, I don't know how you tied that with this or that. But brothers and sisters, I just kept thinking about how the Lord has blessed us this weekend. And he's blessed us every day of our life. My dear bride wasn't able to be with me today due to work, and she sends her love to each and every one. But you know, there's a lot of days I come in and I sit down going, oh, poor, pitiful me. And she has to remind me. She said, quit feeling sorry for yourself and just look for the good, because it's right there.
Amen.
May the Lord richly bless you.
Amen.
Amen.